Blog Talk Radio.
That was the sound of someone eating tofu. You can get anything you want, except in Alice. Good evening and welcome to Eerie House Radio. We have even more extra bonus Thanksgiving leftovers. I'm Dale Kay from Spook Show. I am accompanied by
Dave Binkley from Weird is Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One. And we are also here with the lovely
greetings and felicitations, and hope you're recovering from the feast that was Thanksgiving. CW here, asking the question, how many gallons of turkey, giblets, and everything else can you get until Christmas? Wow.
I don't know, but we made too much gravy, so I'm going to start doing shots.
Okay.
Gravy shots. Dave, you want to do some gravy shots, man?
I don't know, man. Sometimes I get a little high on gravy.
Wow.
That's the point. That's the point, my friend. You get that cholesterol buzz, man. It blocks your veins and, oh, good times. That's what I use peanut butter for. Anyhow, we've got two tales for you tonight as part of our leftover offerings. Yep, we got Sam Spade, and also Radio Reader's Digest. So you don't have to read.
That's right. And it'll be condensed. And not only that, Dale, we have not one, not two, but 12 more turkey facts, Dave facts from last year.
Oh, wow. So everybody wear your favorite pants.
Or in other words... There you go. Oops, sorry, cut off the song. Sorry.
Yeah, been quite a weekend. My heavy eating pants took a workout. Eating pants for Thanksgiving.
Got to unbuckle that belt a couple of loops. Yep.
Oh, dear.
Let's welcome good old Bob and Fog's Bane. They're here for some leftovers. Grab a plate. Help yourself. Plenty of seats.
Yep, the buffet is out and spread verily. So dig in, dive in.
Yep. Now, CW, I know you're not a meatitarian. So how do you feel like about certain other like classic Thanksgiving foods, such as yams or like that? A lot of people make that green bean salad with the... Or not so much a salad. They serve green beans with the crispy onion thingies on them. Do you go for that kind of stuff at all?
Yeah, those can be pretty tasty by all means. And I do yams, but I do not like the yams that are stuffed with about 5 tons of marshmallows and whipped cream and everything else. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. And on the odd occasion, you will see someone coming out with – their great-grandmother's recipe for a Jell-O salad. I mean, occasionally if you go, a holiday potluck, you'll still see that relic. That relic comes out. You know, get a stick.
Yeah, it's got pieces of fruit floating around inside the Jell-O or something like that?
Yep, and marshmallows.
You might as well have fruitcake at that point. No thanks.
Yeah. Yeah, mac and cheese is always a winner, especially when you use kind of the old school thing, which is totally not healthy because it is awfully tasty, especially when you oven roast the top of it.
Oh, yeah.
It comes out a little crispy. Yeah. So there's tons of things. And plain old-fashioned whipped potatoes. Nothing with a lot of all this Yahoo Giga frou-frou stuff, you know, no extra bits and pieces of that and this and other thing. Just plain,
no
little salt, little pepper. No floaters. Plain, simple, little salt, little pepper, little butter, a little bit of butter. It's good.
Maybe a little wee bit of sour cream to make them nice and thin and whipped up good or not so much?
Not so much. Not a big fan of sour cream. I like sour cream, but not too big a fan of it. Yeah, and of course, Okay, everybody better hold on. Be calm. Brussels sprouts. Da-da-da-da-dum.
Oh, they're great.
Brussels sprouts.
I love Brussels sprouts.
Yeah.
I love them. Yep.
Yeah.
Yay.
It's green,
my
isn't
son's,
it?
Yeah, it's
green. Green,
isn't it?
They're very green.
I don't eat stuff that's green.
No. Brussels sprouts are cute. They're like little cabbages.
They're baby cabbages. You can skewer them and roast them, especially if you roast them in a pan a little bit with a little bit of garlic on there and a touch of olive oil. Yum. Keeps the vampires away, too. So there.
You know how I know it's not a good flavor? Because there's no ice cream, Brussels sprout flavored ice cream.
Yeah.
That's how I know it's not.
Yeah.
Ice cream.
It can happen.
What about carrot cake? Well, you can still get your vegetables. Have some carrot cake.
Carrot cake is good.
Oh, carrot cake. I can handle that because it's got icing.
You would be proud of me, CW. I grow a lot of green things. We get snow peas and snap peas, green beans. Oh, my gosh, we get way too many green beans. And oddly, my dog likes them. Dog likes green beans.
They do.
Good, he can come over to my house.
And it is an acceptable food for dogs. So.
Oh, yeah. It's in a lot of varieties of dog food, even though there are more hoity-toity varieties put those vegetables in there. So you grow a lot of green stuff. Any particular herbs we should be aware of?
Yes. Oregano. Lots of parsley.
Oh, sure. Yeah, it's oregano and parsley. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Okay.
Basil.
Basil.
And rosemary.
Oh, parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme?
No. Parsley, yes. Sage, no. Thyme, no. I got no time.
But rosemary,
yeah.
I got no time for parsley either.
I got no time for parsley either.
Oh, parsley's great. You can't make a soup without parsley. Oh. Or parsley
isn't that the weeds they throw on my plate there when I'm in a restaurant?
Oh, no. You got...
We'll put this garnishment on. It'll be really cool.
It gives it a nice little zing.
It's a weed.
Not a weed.
Do you ever have dandelions, or have you ever had dandelion salad? Dandelion salad?
No, but I had an iguana who did. He loved dandelion tops. He loved those yellow flowers. He would eat them like crazy.
Every part of the dandelion is edible.
Yes.
You can make you can make dandelion wine. Thank you, Ray Bradbury.
Yep.
You can make salad from the tender green leaves. Make sure they're young green leaves. It gets a little bitter if they're older.
Yeah.
And you can, from the roots, you can get herbal concoctions. So it's a multi-purpose.
What about that icky, milky stuff that's in the stem?
Now,
that
I think, probably.
Yeah, that's poisonous. Don't eat that.
No, but I'd have to look that up. I think, don't quote me on this, anyone. Look it up yourself. I think that can be used for some sort of first aid.
Disclaimer time.
Disclaimer. Everything you hear
on
the radio.
Don't try this at home, yes.
Don't try this at home.
Anything I do, anything I've done, I don't recommend, no.
Yes. After all, we are professional idiots. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
My son's neighbor grew Brussels sprouts. They're a huge plant, and it's funny. They kind of grow around the stem, sort of, the little Brussels sprouts. He had tons of them. He must have had several pounds of Brussels sprouts.
After a while, depending upon the plant, it can go sort of feral. It will grow on its own.
Yeah, they go wild after a while.
Yeah. Asparagus. If you get asparagus to stay put, after that, it'll be it's like the day of the triffids.
Oh, no, not the triffids. They'll come after you.
That's
I wonder how triffid tastes.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, I'm thinking, hey, it's coming after us. Get that, sharpen that knife, and you got some olive oil and some herbs? Okay, I got it. Ooh, tasty. Okay, you'll see the triffids then running for it because people decide, ooh, triffids, come here. Tasty. Get the ranch dressing.
Yum, yum.
Yeah. Where shall we start with radio tonight? Davis, look out. Davis in feasting mode.
How about some Samuel Spade?
You want to start with Sam? Yeah. We can start with Sam with a terrified turkey caper.
Yeah, unfortunately, this was after Dashiell Hammett and he got blacklisted and his name was taken off. So the NBC Wild Cream Oil pulled back its sponsorship, and NBC went on to pulling our good friend Mr. Howard Duff and putting in Steve Dunn to finish out for one more year of Sam Spade. So they may have been written the same way. It just didn't come across the same way with Steve Dunn. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it was bad. I'm just saying it was different. It's kind of like when Vincent Price wasn't there and they had Tom Conway do the Saint. It wasn't the same. It wasn't quite as fun, but it's still a fun script.
Yeah. And remember Tom Conway, that voice is so familiar because he is or was the sibling of George Saunders.
Yes.
Yep.
And you know what happened
the
there?
Tim Conway changed his name. Tim Conway was Conway.
Right. And the reason he changed his name is that he and his brother both decided when they moved from the outskirts of Russia over to England and were both deciding to go to the – they flipped a coin to see who would get to keep the family name. And Tom lost. So he had to come up with a different name henceforth. Tom Conway.
Yep, this is our Sam Spade tonight. This
episode Steve Dunn.
Comes.
Yep. Steve Dunn.
He done put in Steve. This episode comes to us from way back.
November 24th of 1950.
The National Broadcasting Company presents The Adventures of Sam Spade, Detective.
Oh.
Sam Spade Detective Agency.
Tis I, sweetheart.
Sam! Oh, I was worried to death. This office, glass all over the floor, holes in the wall.
That was just business going on as usual during altercations, Eff.
Well, what was it all about, Sam?
They tried, Effie, just tried to pluck my feathers and cook my goose.
On Thanksgiving, too. How could they?
Oh, they were a mean lot.
Are you all right?
Hale and hearty. Every giblet in place and not a feather ruffled. Did you have a nice Thanksgiving?
Oh, it was heavenly. Mama had a turkey dinner, sage dressing, cranberry sauce, candied yams.
Hard cider?
A little.
Come clean, Effie.
Well, I had two glasses. Everyone was there. Cousin Gertie, Dwight, Mrs. Floss. I was disappointed when you didn't show up, Sam. Did you have Thanksgiving dinner?
Sure.
Where?
At the Helping Hand Rescue Mission, where there's plenty of free parking and never a cover charge. For further details, consult the report, which I will presently be down to dictate, on a tasty chronicle of foul play. The Terrified Turkey Caper.
For NBC, William Spear, radio's outstanding producer, director of mystery and crime drama, brings you the greatest private detective of them all in The Adventures of Sam Spade.
Sam Spade!
Oh, you were waiting for me.
Having Thanksgiving dinner at a rescue mission where Mama cooked a perfectly wonderful...
Thank your mother for me, Eff. Tell her I'll be over to break wishbones with her tonight. And to atone for my social indifferences, here's a little something I brought for you.
Oh, Sam! You shouldn't have. It's beautiful. What is it?
A blunderbuss.
A blunder what?
Bus, as in step to the rear of.
Oh. Well, what does it do?
Shoots, Eff. It's a gun. Our founding fathers used it in foraging for feathered food when they settled this abundant continent.
And it's mine.
To do with what you will.
Where did you get it?
Pencil poise?
Yes, Sam. Who gave it to
Pad
you?
Pad open?
Oh, yes, but I don't know.
Knees crossed?
Did you meet a founding father?
Don't peek. Date, November 24th, 1952. Detective Lieutenant I.C. Kelsey, Homicide Detail, San Francisco Police. From Samuel Spade, license number 137596. Subject, Turkey. Dear Kelsey, this was a big week for the cranberry pickers, the butchers, the sage makers, and the stomach pill people. But for private detectives, it was strictly from hunger. My office door opened only twice a day, once to let me in and once to let me out. And when on Wednesday I heard a knock on the door, I went into a paroxysm of delight. Come in! Come in! Come in! Entrez-vous! Entrez-usted! Erein! When I ran out of languages, I got up from behind the desk, walked to the door, and opened it. Standing there was a small, middle-aged man with a pink, bald head. His blue serge suit needed pressing, and he was nervously fingering a strawberry birthmark under his left ear.
Mr. Samuel Spade?
I am.
May I have a moment with you?
You may have several, but not in the corridor. It's not in my lease.
Oh, I'll come in.
Good, good, good. Well?
Well, you'll have to excuse me, Mr. Spade. I've had so few dealings with private detectives, I find it hard to begin.
Well?
Perhaps I shouldn't have come at all. Goodbye.
No, wait a minute. Maybe I can help you.
Well, you see, what's the use? You won't believe me. Nobody does. I'd really better go.
Oh, now, wait. I'll believe you. All I ask is a chance. Now, let's start with your name.
Oh, my name?
Yes,
my name. To begin with, you won't believe that. Oh, but I can verify it. Yes, I can. It's on the registration book of the Old Colony Hotel, in the 1943 phone book, and on my old driver's license.
Well, I'll have to know it before I can verify it.
Yes, of course you will. It's Tom.
Well, now that's not so hard to believe.
Oh, you haven't heard the rest of it. It's Tom Turkey. You see, I told you wouldn't believe it. I'd better go.
Let me be the first to believe you. Now, Mr. Tom, what's your problem?
Oh, dear. Dear, that's even harder to explain.
Well, now that I don't believe. But take a breath and jump into it.
Breath, yes. My name is Tom Turkey, and they're going to kill me for Thanksgiving.
Well, I had asked for it, and I had gotten it. And I sat back wondering who had gone to all the trouble to play this funny joke on me. I was looking at my hand to see if there was any itching powder on it where he'd shaken it when my phone rang. I lifted the receiver, swung around in my swivel, and gazed out onto the street. It was Al Kuchel calling, a private eye whose reputation was shadier than a mushroom seller.
Hiya, Spadey.
Al.
Haven't seen much of you lately, Spadey. Have to get together.
Yeah, well, so long.
Wait, I'll tell you why I called. I've had a pest in my office, keeps coming back. Thinks he's a turkey somebody wants to dress. I brushed him, but your name came up, and I just wanted to warn you. He might be in to see you.
I'm confused, Al. I never knew you to turn your back on a buck.
Oh, I don't want any of this one. His buttons are loose. My advice to you is to bounce him.
Well, we've never traded advice before, Kuchel. Why now?
Well, after all, we're in the same racket. If we can't help each other...
Oh, sure, Al, sure. I appreciate it.
Give me a ring. We've got to get together sometime.
Yeah, when I get a free night, we'll jimmy parking meter.
Yeah, we... Huh? Oh, yeah. Parking meters. See you later, Spidey.
I turned back to the desk, and what I saw in front of me was an empty chair. Tom Turkey had taken wing. I got up and walked to the window, and a minute later, I saw him come out of the building downstairs and start to cross the street. And then I saw something else. A large 4-ton truck was tearing down the street, picking up speed. Instinctively, I shouted a warning. And at the last second, Tom Turkey scrambled from in front of the truck and disappeared into the alleyway. The truck roared up the street, and on its side was printed in gold letters, "Haynes, you drive it." There was nothing to say it wasn't coincidence, this near mishap, but somehow I found myself intrigued and wanting to hear more of the little guy's story. He said the Old Colony Hotel. On the way, I stopped at the library, found an old 1943 phone book, and looked. He was listed. Thomas Turkey, it said. Out of curiosity, I rang the number.
Hello?
I wonder if you can help me. I'm inquiring about a Mr. Turkey.
Turkey? This ain't his number no more.
I know.
Haven't had any calls for him for years. Screwy name.
Yeah, I know, I know.
I knew a woman named Rabbit once. Mrs. Rabbit.
About Turkey. Could you remember what he looked like?
I don't. Hey, Manny, what Turkey look like? Yeah, yeah. Small man, around 50. Nice fellow, Manny says.
Strawberry under his left ear?
Strawberry under his left ear, Manny. Yeah. Yeah, strawberry under his left ear.
Well, thank you, madam, for your information, and thanks to Manny.
Well, you're welcome, but I don't know what you're going to do with it. Old man Turkey's dead. Been dead for years.
Curiouser and curiouser, I thought. They had described the man who came to my office 20 minutes ago, and now he'd been dead for years. I continued on to the Old Colony Hotel. Room, 75 cents, it said. Tom's room is 114.
Who is it?
Sam Spade.
Oh, come in, Mr. Spade.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I ran away. I didn't think you really believed me.
Well, I'm not sure I do yet. Tell me, was that truck an accident?
Oh, I don't think so, no. They made three attempts before to kill me. Somebody tried to push me in front of a train, and then a wheelchair full of cement dropped off a building and just missed me, and then I was shot at.
Well, who were they, and why would they want to kill you?
I don't know. I just don't know.
Look, let's tack.
Tack?
Tack. I dialed your old phone number, and the people who answered said you're dead.
Oh, a lot of people think I'm dead.
Yeah. Look, do you still want me to work for you?
Oh, yes. Yes, please.
Well, you'll have to tell me more, then.
Yes, I guess I'd better tell you everything. Oh, it's hard to talk about, Mr. Spade. It's not easy to admit to someone you've been a foolish man. You see, I just turned 50. I was quite tired of the life I'd led. Proper, dull, and unfruitful, except in money. My business was wearing, and so was my wife, Henrietta.
This has a traditional ring.
Anyway, to make it short, I decided to run away. One day I drove to work. I parked my car in the middle of the Bay Bridge where the suicide note left it and disappeared.
Where did you go?
Oh, all over the world. I took a job on a boat. I did. On a boat. And then I settled in São Paulo, Brazil, under another name.
Now you're back. Why?
Well, maybe I got lonely. Maybe I got wiser. Maybe I felt I paid enough for my mistakes. Let's just say I'm back. I want to be with Henrietta.
Have you seen her?
I checked into this hotel and wrote her a letter saying I wasn't dead. I was back in San Francisco, and I wanted to come back to her if she still would have me. But I told her I wouldn't bother her unless she wanted to see me, that she could contact me here. That was a week ago.
And you haven't heard from her?
No, no, and almost right away these attempts on my life began.
I see. All right, what's her address?
3118 Monroe. Oh, she's taken her maiden name again. Black. Henrietta Blank.
Well, come on, let's go.
No, I'm not going to see her until she asks me.
Well, look, you're going to my apartment. Nobody will bother you there.
And you're going to see Henrietta?
That's right.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Spade. You do believe me. I think I'm really ready to face the world again now.
I deposited Tom in my apartment with instructions to open the door for no one but me, and then I proceeded to 3118 Monroe in the high rent district. I was ushered through a comely portico by a Japanese maid who told me to wait in a study heavy with mahogany. In a moment, two people came in. The woman wore a black dress, silver pendant, flat shoes, and a complexion the color of apple meat. She was Miss Henrietta Black and or Mrs. Tom Turkey. The man turned out to be Leander Luce, the lady's attorney, business manager, and canasta partner.
You say you have something important to discuss with me, Mr. Spade?
I do.
I hope you don't mind my asking Mr. Luce to be here.
Not at all.
Well?
Mrs. Turkey, I've just talked to your husband, Tom.
Mr. Spade, if you please.
I say something?
A rather feeble attempt at comedy, Mr. Spade.
Well, I wasn't trying for laughs. You are Mrs. Turkey, aren't you?
I was.
You undoubtedly still are.
I've expected to hear another one of these cruel jokes about my name.
At Thanksgiving time, Mr. Spade, someone was always going to stuff Tom, baste him, dress him, slice him.
This season, they're going to kill him.
They are not going to kill him. He is already dead.
He's not dead, Mrs. Turkey, and you should know it.
I should.
Yes, he sent you a letter saying he was back in San Francisco and wanted to see you.
Mr. Spade, this has gone absolutely far enough.
Not quite. What about the letter?
I know of no such letter.
I see. Well, Thank you for your time. I'm sorry I bothered you.
Yeah, you used bad judgment in coming in the first place.
Yes, maybe you're right. There was falsehood in this someplace, Lieutenant, and it stuck out like a fat girl in slacks. The only thing to do was to go back to my apartment, get Tom Turkey, and confront Mrs. T with her husband in the flesh. But when I got back to my apartment building, I spotted in rapid succession, one, an ambulance, two, a police car, and upstairs, outside my half-opened apartment door, I spotted three, you.
I've been expecting you.
What's going on, Kelsey?
Yeah, serious, Sam, serious.
Who's that bald-headed man moving around the apartment?
That's McCracken, the new medical examiner, checking a stiff on your rug.
I stepped around you, Lieutenant, and pushed the door all the way open. I saw McCracken kneeling over the body and a couple of men from homicide taking photos. I moved into the room feeling nothing good. A little guy had given me a job, and while I was yakking with his wife, somebody got to him. And in my apartment, where I'd stashed him. McCracken stood up, and I looked down at the body. Then I looked again. Who I saw wasn't Tom Turkey at all. It was the late Private Eye, Al Kuchel.
You are listening to the weekly adventure of radio's most famous detective, Sam Spade. You Friday fans of Sam Spade, there's mystery on Saturday evening, too, on NBC. Tomorrow, the man called X sets out on another mission of danger and intrigue in some far-off corner of the earth. Herbert Marshall stars as the man called X, a man without a name who travels the world over protecting his country's interests. He lives by his wits, and his business is danger. He's the man called X, tomorrow over most NBC stations. For Top Sunday Listening, it's another broadcast of The Big Show on NBC. This Sunday, your stars include Fred Allen, Jack Carson, Mindy Carson, Ed Archie Gardner, Ed Wynn, and many, many more. And Tallulah is your MC as
many,
usual.
Many, many more.
This Sunday, it's The Big Show on
many,
NBC.
Many, 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 many more.
Naughty, naughty Tallulah. I love her.
Wow.
She was something else.
Yeah. Incredible. I love these descriptions that Dashiell Hammett wrote for this. The
no,
skin
he didn't,
color.
He didn't write. He kind of just let them buy the rights to write the radio shows. And
oh,
by this time,
well,
he had already been blacklisted. So, yeah, this is just
oh,
the radio.
Right.
But the great stuff. This is great stuff here.
It is. I mean, the description, she had skin the color of apple meat. Wow, I don't ever remember hearing a disease. Yeah, I had to think about that.
Always
got to
do the vegetarian thing, huh?
Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah, but I think apple meat. Okay, so she was very, very pale, very fair-skinned. Okay, fine. And a fat girl in stood out like a fat girl in slacks.
That was mean.
And
oh, boy.
Dave, well, we can pick your brain, your pickled brain. I mean, pick your brain. I'm sorry. Is the lieutenant
did you say,
played by did
you say
William?
You said pickle. You woke up the yodeling pickle.
Tisk, tisk, tisk.
Anyway, okay, he's back to sleep again.
He creeps me out, the pickle.
Anyway, you're pickling my brain with what now?
The lieutenant, is that played by William Conrad? Is that William Conrad's voice I heard?
Yep, it was William Conrad. And you know
Matt
what?
Dillon.
This is about the time that Gunsmoke was starting, and that's a reason why he really, they didn't want to consider him. He was so much all over the dial on all these shows that he was just too familiar. They didn't want him. But then when he actually got to try out for the part, they knew it was right for him. It was just, and he was.
He stood out like a girl in slacks, though, you know.
He did. Yeah. Well, he stood out like three girls in slacks, in the same slacks, though.
Yeah. Yes.
But, yeah.
I got room to talk. I got room to talk, yeah.
No, I don't have any, really? I don't have any room in my slacks. I just,
speaking of room to talk, Dale.
Nobody needs to know any of this.
What it should be time for. So
it should be time for something. If we had some introductory music, that would probably be great.
We would be.
All right. It's time for Dave Facts, Turkey Facts.
Yes, continuing on from last year, we have more Turkey Facts, Dave Facts. Turkey Fact, store-bought turkeys cannot fly. Dave Fact, of course they can't. They're dead. Turkey Fact, female turkeys don't gobble, they purr. Dave Fact, that's not been my experience when out on a date. Turkey Fact, wild turkeys can soar for over half an hour. Dave Fact, if I could soar for over half an hour, I'd drink more wild turkey. And Turkey Fact, Tom turkeys have more warts than hens. Dave Fact, they also have less plastic surgery and less personal trainers. That is the first of Dave Fact Turkey Facts.
Eeny, meeny, chili beeny, the spirits are about to speak.
Speak. Tell us more about our upcoming part two of Sam Spade, the terrified.
If we did that, they wouldn't stay tuned.
That's true.
Yeah.
Stay tuned anyway. Here's part two of Terrified Turkey Caper from Sam Spade. I'm so confused.
And now back to the Terrified Turkey Caper, tonight's adventure with Sam Spade.
Oh!
While the men from Homicide were taking pictures, etc., you and I, Lieutenant, were going round and round on the question, if I didn't kill the man found in my room, who did? And you were sufficiently impressed with my insults, Kelsey, not to hold me for the murder. We bowed to each other and I left. Thinking back to the truck that had almost run Turkey down, I went to the Haynes U Drive truck rental garage.
Yeah? What do you want?
I'm a detective. Could you give me a list of names for everybody who rented a truck from you during the past few days?
Sure.
He handed me a big registration book, and I read every name for the past week. For the first 5 days, they all seemed to be nice, normal, abnormal names. And then, under the rentals for the day before, was the name of John Smith. John had given his address as 7200 Kearney. And I happen to know that Kearney only goes up to 2000. The dispatcher said that Smith had returned the truck about 3 hours before. And he remembered him as an ugly, heavy-set, and rough-voiced character who looked like an ex-longshoreman. They had already washed the truck, so the fingerprints were all loused up.
Mr. Spade again.
Look, I'd like to speak with Mrs. Turk, Miss Black, if you don't mind.
Come in.
Thank you.
This way, into the den.
Right.
Well, I was sure you'd look into this affair a little more and realize that it was just a blind alley, a hoax of some kind.
Where's Miss Black?
Oh, she's upstairs, lying down. The whole affair has upset her, and she asked not to be disturbed. I think the wisest course of action for you, Mr. Spade, is just to let the matter drop.
You can't let a murder just drop, Mr. Luce. The police wouldn't hear of it.
Huh? Murder? Who?
An unfrocked private detective named Al Kuchel.
Well, what does this have to do with Henrietta Black?
Al Kuchel called me earlier today and said that Tom Turkey was a crackpot, a little man with delusions. He tried to top me off taking his case.
He sounds like a perceiving man.
Well, he didn't perceive ending up in my apartment with a bullet in his head.
Well, that's too bad, but I still don't
I left Tom Turkey in my apartment for safekeeping, and when I returned, he was gone and Kuchel was dead.
Well, that explains itself, obviously. This detective knew that Tom Turkey was a phony. And Turkey killed him.
It can figure that way. And a number of other ways.
Mr. Spade, I have no desire to sit here trading subtleties with you. As yet, no one has demonstrated that the real Tom Turkey actually exists. Alive. Now, Until you do have something more concrete and less mythological, Miss Black requests that you do not come around opening up old wounds.
You've made an eloquent point. Just tell me one thing.
If I can.
When did Tom Turkey disappear? I mean, what month, what day?
It was, 1943, November. But I'm not sure of the exact day. I think it was in the third week.
Could it have been on Thanksgiving?
Very possibly, very possibly.
I returned thoughtfully to my office and did a little rapid mental arithmetic and came up with the number 7. From November 23rd, 1943 to November 23rd, 1950 was 7 years to the day. And I pondered this. What did the number 7 mean to the life or death of Tom Turkey? I had just hit upon the answer and was crying Eureka when my office door opened, unknocked, and a visitor came in unannounced. He was ugly, heavy-set, and looked like an ex-longshoreman. I waited to see if the voice checked.
You, Spade?
Who shall I say is calling?
Captain John Smith. And here's my calling card.
The first bullet grazed my shoulder and tore the padding out of my coat. The second bullet hit the water cooler and it crashed over, water and all on top of me. Where the third bullet hit, I wasn't sure at the time because darkness came rushing through my head like a freight train. When I opened my eyes again, I expected to see St. Peter checking my ID card. But all I saw were the dust balls under my desk and a fly bathing himself in a pool of water spreading slowly over the floor. There was blood on my hand, but it came from a glass cut. I was in shambles, but alive. Captain John Smith had shoved off, obviously thinking his bullets had done their work.
Homicide, Lieutenant Kelsey.
Sam Kelsey, have you found anything more about Tom Turkey?
Nothing, Sam. Frankly, I'm beginning to wonder if there is such a guy.
Well, clever Kelsey, a few minutes ago, a gorilla by the name, believe it or not, of Captain John Smith just tried to kill me in my office.
Oh, go on, Sam. I find it hard to think.
You find it hard to think, period.
Really, Sam? Did you get him?
No, but my office is a wreck, and there's a hole blasted in my wall big enough to put a basketball in.
Well, what did he use, a bazooka?
I figured dum-dum bullets.
Dum-dum? Well, that's illegal, ain't it?
Kelsey, doesn't it strike you as significant that every attempt on Turkey's life has been vicious, as if someone not only wanted to kill him, but also mutilate him?
Yeah, now that you mention it. Somebody probably wanted to make identification difficult.
Even dead, they didn't want anybody to know who he was. Now, listen carefully, Kelsey. This is real deep. Tom Turkey disappeared on Thanksgiving of 1943. A person has to be missing 7 years before he can be legally dead and his insurance collected. Now, if someone had Turkey insured, they could collect the day after this Thanksgiving, if Turkey didn't show up before.
You mean somebody's trying to kill him for the insurance?
I would say so, Kelsey. I would say so. Now, hurry up and find him. When I put down the phone, I heard a heavy pounding. For a minute, I thought it was in my head, until I turned to face the door, and standing there was a small pilgrim with bandy legs in black stockings, pantaloons, white-collared coat, and stovepipe hat.
Hallelujah!
He wore silver buckles, and what he was pounding on the floor was an 18th-century blunderbuss.
Hallelujah! Have I got the right place?
Well, offhand, I'd say so. If you're looking for Captain John Smith, he just left. Pocahontas is expected any minute.
Now, don't you go trying to confuse me. I'm too thirsty.
What's on your mind, Pilgrim?
Well, I'm looking for a fellow named Dan, I'm so thirsty, I forgot.
Sam Spade?
That's it, yes. Oh, you broke your water bottle, huh?
Yeah.
Good. That stuff's poison anyway. Hallelujah. Do you happen to have any hard cider around?
Fresh out.
Oh. I'm kind of thirsty, you know. Any type of corn squeezings?
Here. Try this, Dad.
Well. Yeah.
Good, huh?
Mm-hmm.
You like that, huh? Oh.
Well, follow me. But before we go, do you suppose we could have a little something for the road? It's bitter cold.
I gave him a little, but not too much, because I didn't want him to lose his way. He walked me right down Market Street so he could look in the liquor store windows. He said it gave him a comfortable feeling to know there was so much good in the world. And then we turned right a few blocks until we came to the Helping Hand Mission. Across its gray front, a banner promised special holiday food and comfort to the unfortunate. And on the street in front of it, there was a brass band sending out signals to the fraternity that any minute the great feast of Thanksgiving would begin. The band members and other volunteer workers were all dressed as pilgrims, a quaint conceit. My pilgrim led me to a dark corner of the clubroom, and sitting there unhappily was none other than Tom Turkey.
Hello, Mr. Spade.
Oh, hello, Tom. What happened to my apartment? And why did you run away?
Well, I was afraid. You told me not to answer the door until you came back.
Yeah.
Well, somebody knocked on the door and said it was you, so I opened it, and two men came
Tell
in.
Tell me, was one of them Al Cucho?
Yes, the detective.
Yeah.
The other man was a big, ugly-looking fellow. And when they saw I was alone, they started arguing.
About what?
Well, the detective said that now that he'd brought the ugly man there, he wanted his money.
Yeah.
The ugly man pulled a gun, and they started a fight. Oh, dear, I slipped out the door. And when I was halfway downstairs, I heard a shot and kept on running.
Well, Al Kuchel is dead.
Oh, my. I thought so. This was the only place I could think of to hide.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, when Henrietta finds out I've been mixed up in a murder, she'll never take me back.
Henrietta. Hey, tell me, did your wife ever have any insurance on you?
Oh, before I ran away, she did. A $50,000 policy, but, oh, that would have lapsed by now.
Maybe, maybe. Did it have a suicide clause in it?
A suicide?
Yes.
Well, no. No, it didn't. I remember.
Yeah. Yeah, you'd like to talk to Henrietta, wouldn't you? All right, here's her phone number. Call her up and tell her where you are.
Oh, but, dear, I don't think I could. I'm too frightened.
You've got to do something to help yourself. If you don't, by midnight, you might be a cold turkey.
Oh.
I'm sorry, it just slipped out.
All right, I'll do it.
Well, he went and made the call. When he returned, he said that a man had answered who said Henrietta would come down and pick Tom up. He didn't want to wait, but I sat on him. The pilgrim brought us a dish of turkey dinner, saying he couldn't stand food himself, and we munched a spell. In a little while, a limousine pulled up in front of the mission with someone in back whom I couldn't see. The chauffeur stepped out and came in inquiring for Tom Turkey. It was Captain John Smith himself. When he saw me, a look of shocked surprise came over his unhandsome face. Hoping to catch him off balance, I dove at him. It was the liveliest thing that has happened at the Helping Hand Mission in years, and we had a good house, too. Money was even changing hands. When I heard the odds starting to go against me, I realized I'd better come up with something.
Here, use this, partner.
And I did. The bandy-legged pilgrim shoved his blunderbuss right in my hand. And I swung. Smith dropped like pheasant on the wing. I looked up. The passenger from the limousine was just coming in.
Yeah, what's the meaning of this?
It means, Leander Luce, that you're not going to carve Tom Turkey up for your Thanksgiving insurance policy.
Hallelujah! Drumstick, anyone?
Period. End of report.
Sam, I don't understand.
Well, it's as plain as the cranberry stain on your dress, Seth.
Hmm?
Luce, as Henrietta's business manager, had her power of attorney. And secretly, he kept making the payments on Tom Turkey's insurance policy.
Oh, and then he'd collect for Henrietta and keep the money himself.
Effie, sometimes your lightning mind frightens me. Now, go type that up.
Three chimes mean good times on NBC. There's fun and laughs with the chimes later tonight when Ed Gardner stars in Duffy's Tavern. As usual, Duffy won't be there, but Archie the manager will definitely be on hand to serve his blue plate special of grilled English language. This Sunday, the big show comes your way again. Tallulah will be your hostess, and the stars include Fred Allen, Jack Carson, Ed Wynn, Meredith Wilson, and many, many more. It's the big show, Sunday, on NBC.
The man who killed Al Cucho and tried to kill you, was his name really Captain John Smith?
Now, Effie, could we have a Thanksgiving caper without a Captain John Smith? It wouldn't be right.
It was a coincidence, wasn't it?
Well, if you promise not to tell anyone.
I won't.
His real name was Michael Giuseppe Yablonsky Smith. I called him John for short.
You're so kind.
Are we going over to your mother's for cold turkey snacks?
Well, all right, but I don't think there'll be much left.
Oh?
You see, my cousin Gertie couldn't find a little boy. And Mother phoned and said they just found him. He was inside the turkey, eating his way out.
Effie, is there no way to curb that tongue of yours?
Yes, sir. There's one way.
Well, come here.
Oh, good night, Sam.
Good night, sweetheart. The Adventures of Sam Spade are produced, edited, and directed by William Spear. Sam Spade was played by Stephen Dunn. Loreen Tuttle is Effie. Script for tonight's adventure
Dunn.
By Larry Roman and John Michael Hayes.
Musical
scoring by Lud Bluskin, conducted by Robert
Armour. One of Dunn's finished.
Well, you know, we may not have a moral, but...
We may. We, might have one.
What we do have is Dave Beck's Turkey Facts.
Part due. Turkey Fact. Male and female turkey droppings are shaped differently. Dave Fact. That's more poop than I need to know about. Turkey Fact. Turkeys lived about 10 million years ago. Dave Fact. And that explains that how my ex-mother-in-law had a pet turkey back then. Turkey Fact. All but 12 states have turkeys. Dave Fact. But those 12 states do have turkey spam. Turkey Fact. Turkeys can and will attack humans. Dave Fact. Luckily, only 3 states allow turkey hunting where turkeys can have guns. But the NRA is still working on this. That's it. For part two. Part due.
Part two. Due. Hilarious.
Oh, wait. There's more.
Wonderful. Sam Spade, one of the best hard-boiled detectives.
That was a lot of fun. Well, all the Steve Dunn ones I've heard, this is just about the most fun one that I've heard.
Mm-hmm. And just a few facts about Dashiell Hammett, even though Sam Spade was his creation and this story was written because the Un-American Activities brouhaha put him in jail. But like most people, he didn't do anything wrong. He served in World War I and World War II.
As a thank you.
Yeah. Thank
you for
thank
your service.
You so
go to jail. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for your service in 2 world wars. Now go off to jail. Just because. And he is buried in, rightly so, Arlington National Cemetery.
Good.
Good that he's buried in a good place. Exactly.
He created Sam Spade, the thin man, and then later for radio, the fat man, and really didn't have anything to do with the radio versions of any of the three, but he sold the rights to be able to, he got weekly stipends for allowing them to use it every week. So that still worked out for him. And when it came around to the fact that they did the one Fat Man movie, which I truly love, with J. Scott Smart, who starred in the radio series, Dashiell Hammett's name was erased from the movie, even though it was created by him. Yeah, yeah. That's what happens with that stupid blacklisting by somebody just trying to make a name for himself in Congress. Yeah.
Yeah, no kidding.
Gee, that doesn't happen today. Anyway.
Oh, yeah, no. That in and of itself should have a radio show.
Yeah. But not here.
Ooh.
Not here.
next on the buffet?
Oh, we have Radio Reader's Digest. I am Tom Turkey's liver. No, that's not it. It's Pete's Thanksgiving.
Yes, Radio Reader's Digest. Now, again, a third show this weekend we have never, ever featured before here on Greenhouse Radio. The Radio Reader's Digest was a series of true stories taken from Reader's Digest magazine, if those are true. There were 273 episodes in total, running between 1942 and 1948. They first started off being sponsored by Campbell Soups. Later on, sponsorship taken by Hallmark Cards when they went off in 48. The Hallmark Playhouse was born. So Hallmark could be that Hallmark just dropped their sponsorship of that and sponsored their own program.
So, fine. We'll just take our stuff and go home.
That's right, yes.
Indeed. Well, I've got a fresh plate. I'm lined up for second helpings.
Excellent. Please do. Plenty to go around. And let's give a date here for Pete's Thanksgiving.
This was from March 6th of 1940 and 7.
Remember, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. The makers of Hallmark greeting cards bring you the true and inspiring story of a naturalized American in a small Midwestern town. Our star is that fine actor of both Broadway and the films, Otto Kruger. Century, quality has been a habit with the makers of Hallmark cards. They have the pride of craftsmen in their name, H-A-L-L-M-A-R-K, Hallmark. That's why Hallmark cards are the kind of card you can be proud to send, proud to receive. So when you want to send the very finest, look on the back for those three identifying words, a Hallmark card. Those three words, a Hallmark card, are your assurance of finest quality. They tell your friends you cared enough to send the very best. To be doubly sure, always look in the back of the card you choose for those three identifying words, a Hallmark card. Now to preside over our program this evening, here's our regular master of ceremonies, the young Broadway actor and producer, Richard Kalmer.
Thank you, Tom Shirley, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. When the makers of Hallmark greeting cards invited Otto Kruger to be our guest tonight, they not only selected a fine actor, but they chose a man who loves America as much as any man in the theater. Ohio is Otto Kruger's birthplace, but American style, he traveled the country as lineman, cattle puncher, musician, any odd job that came along. And like Americans, Otto could do a lot of things. For instance, he learned the Morse code. Otto, maybe you'll tell us that story on yourself that appeared in Reader's Digest.
Well, I will, Dick, but only as a grim example. I taught the Morse code to my wife, and one night we were having a dinner party. Well, ever the anxious host, I tapped out a message to her. Have we any more meat? Well, the answer came back promptly, but it came from the guest of honor who tapped out, thanks, we've had plenty.
Yes, Otto Kruger is a man of many talents, so we think he is particularly fitted to play the role of Dimitri tonight, a little Greek who discovers that his talents can, what they can do in America. The makers of Hallmark greeting cards present on the Reader's Digest radio edition, Otto Kruger in Pete's Thanksgiving. The town where this all happened is called Janesport. Janesport is a typical American Midwestern community, which is to say that its citizens have names like Perkins and Harrison and Taylor and Andrews. One day, when America was in its third day of the war, a man arrived in Janesport
a typical American, which is to say that his name was Pete Dimitri. He'd been born in Greece. His wife's parents had been born in Ireland. And he was here in Jamesport to open a little business. He and his wife walked from the depot up the main street until they came upon a merchant sweeping the sidewalk in front of his store. They stopped there.
Excuse me.
Yes? What can I do for you?
We just came here. This is my wife.
How do you do?
Well?
I'm Pete Dimitri. We are going to be in business here on the same street with you.
We're opening up a new restaurant.
Yes.
Oh, I've heard of you.
Good. And we hope to be friends with you and all the other merchants.
I see. Well, time will tell. Excuse me now. I have work to do. Operator, 532, please. Hello? Harry? This is Perkins. Harry? I've just met the people that are going to open the restaurant. Yes, Harry. Maybe all right, but they are foreigners, Harry. And you know if we let one in, there'll soon be a little jabbering colony right here in our midst.
Pete?
Yeah? What is it, Anna?
Lunch is ready.
Just 1 minute.
Soup is good, huh?
Oh, I wish you could get carpenters to make that counter for you.
Yeah, and I. But all the carpenters in this town say they are busy.
They don't seem busy.
No. Huh? No, that's strange, is it not, Anna?
Yeah, very strange.
No, well, it does not matter. Our plans, Anna, our plans are coming through. Yeah, it's got a good soup. You know, for 20 years in this country, I have wanted a business of my own. Now I will have one. And for you, Anna, and for another thing also.
You mean so that you can feel a part of this country?
No. I feel part of this country already. I'm here for a long time. I have the citizenship. But I want to be like other Americans who save and who make their own business. I always wanted my business to be a restaurant. You know why, Anna?
Why, dear?
Because America always means the country where nobody starves. And I want to be one of those who feed the people in the country where nobody starves.
I hope we'll do all right here, Pete. I hope we won't starve.
Oh, of course not.
Well, the people here are friendly.
Oh, well, they wait. They want to know us first.
The trouble is, they don't seem to want to know us at all.
Oh, blah, that is foolish, my Anna. This is America where everyone is always a welcome. I don't have to worry about the people, but they will like us when they finally are honest. They're just waiting to see.
Maybe.
Yes. No. I'm happy here. All what we have wanted, we shall have in Jamesport, Anna. Yeah. If only now the Red Cross would let me know that my dear grandmother in Greece is safe, my cup would be full.
Oh, I hope you're right. Well, we'll find out when we open the restaurant.
Yes, and that will be soon, before Thanksgiving, I think. And if I can get the plumbers to do the plumbing work soon.
If you can, yes, please. If.
Well, I'll tell you now, Mr., whatever your last name is. Every one of us plumbers is pretty busy.
But for 3 weeks I've been trying
to... Yeah, for 3 weeks, I know. And maybe it'll be 3 weeks longer, maybe 3 months longer. There's a lot of other folks need plumbing work done. Folks we know. Folks who've always lived here. Folks we've done business with before. Our own kind of folks, if you see what I mean.
Hi, my Anna. I'm happy you've come.
Pete, there's something that
Look, my Anna. Look, see what I've been able to do myself. See this counter, huh?
Well, oh, it's good, Pete. Well, I didn't know you could do things like that.
I didn't know it either until I had to. I had to find out how. You know something, Anna, the best thing is...
What?
The plumbing. I have done the plumbing myself.
No.
Yes. Well, I feel more like American than ever before. You know, Americans have all the skill with the tools. And I have learned that skill too now, huh?
Peter, you're wonderful.
Come here, come here, come here. Yes. You know, Anna, dear, I've always loved you. You've been so patient and loving. You will not mind it that I speak funny.
Oh, Peter, don't be silly.
No. Anna, you're good woman. Now I can maybe be good husband for you. We open the restaurant on Thanksgiving Day.
No.
Yes. And before that, I'm going to make a speech.
Where?
The Businessmen's Club of Jensport. I go there to their meeting to announce my opening.
Pete, they may be cruel to you.
What? No, this is America where people like to see men start their own little business. No. I shall make the speech. And you, Anna, you should help me fix it, huh?
Well, all right.
Sure. Now let us have lunch, huh?
It's not time for lunch, Pete.
No time for... I lose track working this way. Well, if it's not time for lunch, why do you come?
Why did I come? I've got a letter for you, Pete.
You got a letter?
Yes.
Letter for me, a letter, huh?
Yes. Here it is. It's from the Red Cross. It must be about your grandmother.
Yeah. All these months I have waited. Yes. Yeah.
Help me, Pete.
Yes.
What is it, Pete? Pete, what does it say?
So.
What are you doing, Pete?
I burned this letter.
What is it, Pete? What does it say?
I will not tell you what it says, Anna. You would only be sorry that you know.
Jamesport Businessmen's Club will please come to order.
Now, wait a minute, Mr. Chairman.
What is it, George?
Before we start the meeting, that Greek's outside.
Who's he doing?
You mean Jimmy Chippy Apollo Pop out of there? Restaurant fella?
That's right.
Yes. What does he want?
Says he wants to speak to us.
Do we want to listen to him?
No. All right.
Take a vote on it.
We don't need to take a vote, Perkins. We have to listen to him.
Why?
It's in the bylaws. You have to listen to any citizen of Jamesport. What's he hearing? That's all right. We got to listen to him.
All right. Join
in. All right. You can come in now.
Thank you. We understand you have something you wish to say to us, and our bylaws require that we listen to you. You state your business, please.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman and members of the Jamesport Businessmen's Club, I come here to this great American club to tell you that Thanksgiving Day I open my restaurant. I hope I will be with you for a long time. I want to announce I am serving regular breakfast from 25 cents to $1, regular lunches from 75 cents to $1.50, and dinner from $1 to $2.25. I hope I can serve you, all of you, many times. It is the dream of my life I should become an American businessman like you. I am glad to open on Thanksgiving Day because I can show my thanks to this country which has given me the chance to be a businessman. On Thanksgiving Day, all the members of the Jamesport Businessmen's Club and all the people of the town can come to my restaurant and eat all they want for nothing. This is how I show my thanks to the country where nobody goes hungry. You can all come and eat for nothing. I thank you.
I see. Well, thank you, Mr.
Dimitrik.
Yes. Well, you will consider your invitation. George, will you show our visitor to the door?
Right.
Goodbye. I hope you all come.
Mr. Chairman, anyone can see what lies behind all this. That Greek fellow almost had me fooled when he talked about becoming an American businessman. But when he said that he was going to give us free dinners, well, it's pretty plain. He's found out that we're not used to foreigners in this town, that we're suspicious of him. He's trying to buy our friendship. I resent that. I say that nobody go to his opening. I say we all stay away.
Just a moment for the second act of tonight's drama presented by Hallmark greeting cards from the pages of the Reader's Digest, America's favorite magazine. Now, here's Dick Garman. For more than four centuries, a lamp hung in the Cathedral of Pisa in Italy. Men passing must have noticed how it swung gently to and fro. Then one day, in the year 1581, something happened. No, not to the lamp. The thing that happened was a flash of vision in the mind of an 18-year-old lad who stood gazing at the swinging lamp. He saw far more than anyone who had been there before him. In this lamp swinging so rhythmically, young Galileo saw the great principle of the pendulum. When people have that quality of vision, the ability to see beyond the obvious, it shows in the things they produce. We think this difference shows in Hallmark greeting cards. The folks who make Hallmark cards aren't making just cards. They're making Hallmark cards to express cheer and happiness as genuinely and sincerely as you would greet a friend yourself. That's why Hallmark cards say what you want to say, the way you want to say it. For more than a third of a century, quality has been a habit with the makers of Hallmark cards. That's why discriminating folks look on the back of the cards they send and receive for the three identifying words, a Hallmark card. Those three words, a Hallmark card, are your assurance of finest quality. They tell your friends you cared enough to send the very best.
That's right. If you send American greetings, you're a cheap ass. All right. I think it's that time once again, isn't it?
You only say that because they moved out of Cleveland.
Yes.
You only say that because yes, okay.
Exactly. If you're moving out of Cleveland, go.
All right, and here's our third and final segment of Turkey Facts, Dave Facts. Turkey Fact. Turkeys were once wore booties when they were walked to the market. Dave Fact. Well, at least they didn't wear pajamas to Walmart. Turkey Fact. Turkeys have more than double their size in the last 40 years. Dave Fact. Big deal. Most of us humans doubled size during the pandemic. Turkey Fact. Turkeys hear certain sounds better than humans. Dave Fact. Unfortunately, those sounds are usually an axe coming their way just before it hits the chopping block. And Turkey Fact. A group of related turkeys will band together to court females, but only one member of the group gets to mate. Dave Fact, that's exactly how the Kardashians got started. That's it.
There we go.
Alrighty.
Fine bit of comedy there.
There you are. And just a segue to the star of this particular show, Mr. Otto Kruger, perhaps... Dracula aficionados will remember his portrayal of Van Helsing from Dracula's Daughter, one of my personal favorites.
I liked her too.
Yes,
I mean,
a groundbreaking
film
in many ways.
Yes.
It was postcode, believe it or not. It was postcode.
Yeah. ..
Snook it in there, eh?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
slip that one under the wire.
Absolutely.
We got more of Reader's Digest coming up, and Thanksgiving coming to a close. You know what that means.
Christmas.
We're that much closer to Halloween.
Oh, okay.
Yes, right. Oh, yes. Start thinking about your decorations for the one, the only real holiday. Everything else pales in comparison.
That's right. Put up our Halloween tree.
Oh, yeah.
Just happens to be red and green. That's right. Christmas is coming around the corner. Who knows what Deviltry Dave has planned for us?
You do.
I do. I was going to say I do.
You do.
Yep. So many cool things coming up next month, man. We got Blondie, Suspense, more CBS Radio Mystery Theater. Armis Brooks is coming back. Oh, boy. Fibber McGee and Molly, Jack Benny. I mean, we got the good stuff coming up all the way into the new year. Yep.
Traveling down 79 Wistful Vista.
Yep. Good old. With the Johnson Works program out of Racine, Wisconsin. That's actually where the company came from, not the show.
Yep.
Show started in Chicago, went off to L.A.
Ah, yes, they went Hollywood.
Yep, and also, we should just barely make 64,000 overall listens, at least, as far as Blog Talk is concerned. We know how accurate and capable they are.
True. Oh, and by the way, last weekend, what was the last show we played? The Quiet Please? Oh, yeah, we played the one. Anyway, with the Quiet Please, we hit our 201st show of the year. Of the year already, so.
Yep.
Wow.
We just keep rolling along.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We're in the thousands overall, I think. Aren't we?
Yes, we are.
We must be by now.
Oh, yes.
We must be.
We're over 1,360 shows. I didn't get this weekend in. So, yes, we are over 1,360 shows already and continuing, and over 723 clips.
Yep.
So
plus songs and other fun that we've been sharing with you, with a whole lot more to come, with a whole lot more radio.
To be sure, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we might as well wrap up this little gem here
from
Radio Reader's Digest. Pete's.
Yep.
Thanksgiving. Poor Pete, man. These people got to cut him some slack.
Now, back to Otto Kruger and Pete's Thanksgiving.
You got some more potatoes coming, have you, Pete?
No. The potato bin is full, but we need more canned vegetables.
I'll make a note of that.
Yeah, we should now order 2 dozen more pumpkin pies. Mm. Everybody wants pumpkin pie on Thanksgiving.
Are you sure?
Yes. Someone at the door.
I wonder who it is.
I don't know. I see it.
How do?
Hello.
I'm collecting for the Thanksgiving basket.
What?
I'm collecting for the Thanksgiving basket.
Yeah, well, I do not understand it, but come in, come.
Thank you.
My name is Dimitri. This is my wife.
Oh, how do you do? How do you do? I'm Mrs. Harrison.
Come in, Mrs. Harrison. Sit down here in this booth.
Oh, thank you. Hey, I like this place.
Yeah, it is nice, no?
Very nice.
Maybe I'd like to come to our opening, Thanksgiving Day.
Any of my friends come?
Well, your friends of yours will be here. The whole town is invited.
Yes, so I heard, but
what? Oh, nothing.
Mrs. Harrison, what is this about Thanksgiving baskets now?
Well, I represent the Woman's Club, and we're making up baskets for the poor.
For the poor, yeah, but in Janesport, you have people here who need such help?
Oh, indeed we do. You see, 2 years ago, the mill moved away from town, and while most of the workers went with it, there were some left behind, and they're poor people.
Oh, I see. You make up baskets for them.
Yes, we ask people to give either food or money.
Money, I see.
Since you run a restaurant, you may find it cheaper to give food.
Well, I'm sure we can give you something.
Fine.
We could probably give you two turkeys, maybe three, and some canned vegetables, don't you think, please?
Huh? That?
Could I have our workers collect them tomorrow?
Yeah, I think so.
No.
But, Pete,
you mean you don't want to give?
No. I mean, we have food here for our opening. We give that. Not two turkeys, not three turkeys. All the turkeys and much canned food, too.
Oh, I'm not asking.
No. I want you to. I have reason
Pete,
why
Pete,
I want
I don't
to.
Understand.
No, never mind. And I will explain. Mrs. Harrison, could you have the workers come here with how many baskets you need now?
Well, we need about 100.
100. I can fill 75. Have your workers bring 75 baskets to this place tomorrow, eh?
All right,
ladies. Here on the tables, here is the food. In every basket, we must have one turkey, two cans of vegetables, one cranberry sauce, a pumpkin, some potatoes, and bread to stuff the turkey with. And here on this table is penny candy for the children. Now, let us fill the basket. Come.
Hello.
I hear here a basket.
Basket?
Yes, sir. Thanksgiving.
But...
See, look here, little turkey. You see? A Thanksgiving basket, eh?
Oh, God bless you.
Sir.
We didn't know what we were going to do for Thanksgiving.
Well, I hope you will have a happy Thanksgiving now.
What's your name? I want to know who to say.
Oh, no, my name doesn't matter. You couldn't pronounce a thing anyway. No, you thank the Woman's Club, eh? Well, goodbye.
Businessmen's Club will please come to order.
Not yet, Mr. Chairman.
Why not, George?
Well, that Greek fellow's here again. He's waiting outside to speak to us.
He's been trying
to win our favor every way he can, Mr. Chairman. After he spoke to us the last time and invited us all to his opening, he must have got wind that we were going to boycott him, so he went in for charity.
We all know that, George. Now, we've heard the man once. Do we have to hear him again? Can we tell him to...
Bylaws say we have to hear him again.
No, man.
Now, I suggest we hear him. He's probably going to ask us something or invite us to his opening again or something of that sort. But I suggest we hear him and take a vote right in his presence, turning down whatever he asks and just showing him where we stand.
All right. George, have him come in.
Right. You may come in.
Thank you. Merci. What can we do for you this time?
Mr. Chairman and members of the Janesport Businessmen's Club, I come here today very much ashamed. Last time I came here to invite you to the opening of my restaurant on Thanksgiving Day. You see, last time I told you I would give you Thanksgiving Day feed free. And now I come to tell you this cannot be.
Indian giver?
I am so ashamed that I cannot do this. It is impossible. I have took the food that was to be for the opening of my restaurant. I have given it to the Woman's Club.
Better publicity, have?
What? I don't understand that. I cannot say it. No, it was necessary to fill the baskets for the poor. I have not enough ration points to get more food for my opening. So There will be no opening.
Wait a minute. Do I understand you to mean that you've actually hurt yourself financially? That you haven't just done this for advertising?
Advertising? No. How can I advertise my opening when there will be no opening?
Then why did you give all that food to the poor?
The poor needed the food. I have given to the poor before, but never so much. You see, well, this year I have heard from the Red Cross about my old grandmother in Greece. She died. See, I've been sending money, clothes, food, and they did not reach her. And so she died. Greece is a very unhappy country this year. When my grandmother was dead, the doctors examined her. In her stomach, they find grass, bark, soap. So I gave all my food to the poor this year because I wish to be part of the reason why in America there are no hungry people. I'm sorry. I'm so ashamed. I cannot do what I said I would do for you on Thanksgiving Day.
Is that all?
Yes, sir. I go now.
Mr. Chairman? Yes? We're going to take our vote in the presence of this man. I, for one, am ashamed to have suggested what I did. I think we ought to take a vote anyway. And not the one we planned, though. I move that Mr. Dimitrik be admitted to membership in this club.
More beans, Pete?
No, thank you, Ayanna.
Not the greatest Thanksgiving Day dinner we've ever had. Is it, Pete?
No. Oh, yes, Anna, the very greatest, sir.
The doorbell.
Yeah, no, that must be a mistake. I'll see. Mr. Perkins?
What are you doing here, Pete?
Oh, Mr. Perkins, I do not understand.
Oh, what is it, Mr. Perkins?
Oh, it's the day your restaurant was to open.
Yeah, I know, but...
Come downtown and open it.
Yeah, I told you, Mr. Perkins, I gave away all the...
Downtown on Main Street, there's a crowd of people outside your restaurant, and they want to be fed.
Oh, but we postponed the opening. We couldn't possibly...
Just because you couldn't get food for your opening doesn't mean that we couldn't.
What?
People in this town like you, Pete. And they have food, and now they want to see whether you and Anna can cook it.
Anna? Anna, you hear that?
Hear it? Oh, I'll get our coat, Pete.
Oh, Mr. Perkins, never have I been so happy.
For a great performance.
Well, I wouldn't have missed playing that part for anything, Dick. It's as American as apple pie.
Or the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah, or what those Hallmark greeting cards call quality, huh? That story had quality, I think. So did little Pete Dimitrik. You know, this whole story reminds me of something I read not long ago in the Reader's Digest by Wendell Willkie.
Let's hear it.
All right. Here it is. I believe in America because we are generous with our freedom. Because we hate no people and covet no people's land. Because we are blessed with a natural and varied abundance. Because we set no limit to a man's achievement. Because we have great dreams. And because we have the opportunity to make those dreams come true.
you again, Otto Kruger. Remember, when you want to greet a friend, send a Hallmark card. For whatever the occasion, a Hallmark card will say what you want to say the way you want to say it. So always look in the back of the card you choose for those three identifying words, a Hallmark card. Like the word sterling on silver, those three words, a Hallmark card, are your assurance of finest quality. They tell your friends you cared enough to send the very best. You're cordially invited to be with us again next week at the same time for another fine dramatic program brought to you by the makers of Hallmark greeting cards. If you enjoyed tonight's show, won't you please tell your friends about it and ask them also to tune in for next week's program sponsored by Hallmark greeting cards. At that time, you will hear the true and heartwarming story that's a natural for the St. Patrick's Day season. It's called Sweet Rosie O'Brady, and our star from Hollywood is Miss Dorothy McGuire. Otto Kruger was supported by Eleanor Phelps in the role of Anna. Pete's Thanksgiving was dramatized by Robert Sanadella from Chronicles of Americanization in the Reader's Digest, America's favorite magazine. The Hallmark program was directed by Mark Loeb, with music especially composed by Jack Miller. To be doubly sure of the finest quality, always look in the back of your cards for those three identifying words, a Hallmark card. This is Tom Shirley speaking for the makers of Hallmark greeting cards and for your friendly Hallmark dealer. You'll find a wide selection of Hallmark cards at America's finer shops and stores. Remember, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
This is the WBBM Air Theater, Wrigley Building, Chicago.
And this is Erie House Radio.
Darn tootin'.
I think we just about finished scraping the plate with these leftovers.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Just about. And I don't think I have maybe a room for dessert, perchance.
Sure. I don't have any room for dessert.
There's about 3 minutes left, so no dessert. I think the pie is gone, too.
Oh, there goes the pie. Ooh,
yeah, that's a problem.
I dropped the pie. I'm sorry. But, luckily the dog cleaned it up, so we're all set.
Well, that is a problem, but Erie House does have a problem, Houston. Next week with Zero Hour, Skylab, are you there? With Billy Boy, Billy Shatner. Mysterious Traveler, ooh, and Crisis. That's Friday at 6:30 Eastern, and then on Saturday we had to move it once again. So we're gonna have a CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
No,
we're not.
You're terrible. You're terrible.
We're gonna have the radio play of a novella by James Tiptree Jr. called Houston. Houston, do you read?
Yes. Note that it is physically possible to reach a hand through the internet towards a person. Sorry. Program for what date now?
James Tiptree Jr. next week.
Thanks,
thank you.
There you are. Now that wasn't such a chore, was it?
I told you not to tease her, Dale. I told you not to tease her.
I'm fine, boss. Never again, boss.
Definitely, everyone, tune in for that particular program. I'm going to have, if we have time, just a few little bits of information about that wonderful author. That's a pen name for Miss Alice Shelton, absolutely fabulous sci-fi and fantasy author.
Well, be prepared to give them in-between segments because the show itself is just about a full hour. So in between our segments, that'd be a great time for you to present those amazing facts.
Shall indeed.
fun facts about a great American authoress. Well, we'll see you next week. Bye.
The castle lights are growing dim. Bye. There's no one left but me and him.
And her.
When
and
next her. We meet in Frankenstone, don't come alone.
Can you dig it?
I can dig it.
Not too bad. They all they missed was the slamming door.
Mine went off after the slamming door, so we shall never know. And those in the archive shall never know that it may or may not have gone during the regular broadcast. Woo-hoo.
Ha! It's a mystery.
It's a mystery.
A mystery.
Well, what a satiating show. And that turkey that's hiding behind the fixtures there. I say,
make
a room
for
it.
Oh, that turkey.
Yep. Oh, yeah, that turkey. The one with the wings.
Oh.
Yep, the one with the wings, not the wingspan. Yeah, yeah.
So the plates are all cleaned. The floor is all vacuumed. And everyone's had at least a couple of antacid tablets. What a nice Thanksgiving it's been.
Yes. Eat till it hurts. Yeah. And I did.
Just as long as you keep them baby cabbages away from me.
Oh, no. You must have the baby cabbages.
No baby cabbages.
Bruce, let's about
you can make. Make a trade-off, guys. You try a plant burger, and you try a baby cabbage. And I hear a dead silence right here.
Frankenstein noises.
I'll go with the plant. I'll go with the plant stuff, but yeah, man. Other stuff I'm not so sure about.
Yeah. Friend, good. Brussels sprout.
Bad. Brussels sprout, bad.
Friend, good.
Good.
Asparagus, not so much. I like asparagus. It's the after effect that's unpleasant.
Vegan spam. Vegan spam.
Who is? Spam.
Spam.
Have you seen on there where some people actually mold their spam into a spam turkey?
Yes, I have heard of this unholy practice.
I'm so proud of them.
Yes.
What?
I think they got that from an episode. No. From an episode of MASH. For Thanksgiving, they did spam turkeys.
Oh, this isn't a war zone. We shouldn't have to resort to such measures. I mean, that's unholy, unspeakable.
It depends on what holiness you go with, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. It depends what religion you are, how unholy that is.
True. If you hold a can of spam against a vampire, will that work?
I don't know. I'll have to check the manual on that. I think there is a... If there isn't a manual, there should be.
Oh, I don't know. You can throw a can of spam at a werewolf. As well as a silver or a wolf bane.
I don't know that kills a werewolf, but okay. It might. It would at least hurt a little.
Yeah.
It would at least hurt a little.
The League for Protection of Cruelty Against Werewolves might have something to say there, though.
Yes. They might.
They have a pretty strong union, I guess.
Oh, yeah. There they go. Yeah. Yeah.
With the spam union?
Yes.
The spam union, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Probably a sign we should start wrapping things up.
I think so. I think we're all full.
That's right, because when we get the spam union against us, we're in a heap of trouble.
Yeah.
Sad the fact. I think we're just all in a turkey malaise or just an overfed malaise where everything's just starting to get a little drowsy. Wow. Just
asleep. Turkey buzz.
Brussels sprout buzz. Brussels sprout buzz. So if I'm
still going after that wild turkey, yeah.
But if I may, I'll do my final duty of the evening and call knock knock on the star, the door of the star. Mr. Durante, we're waiting for you.
Good night. It's time to say good night.
And say it.
Good night. Yeah. Good
night.
Don't let us stop you.
What more is this safe but good night?
You can say good night. Have a few laughs. And it's time for toodaloo. Sorry for what we say. And in cut think you do.
Oh, you woke up the pickle, Mr. Durante. Oh, dear.
No. Why?
Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash. Wherever.
Well, be nice if I had an ending soundbite here.
Dr. Pepper, the swell drink that's inviting, delighting, and exciting. And here is Pretty Peggy Pepper in person.
Bringing joy across the land.
Dr. Pepper.
If you want to lead the van, drink it every day. Energy picks up, and you'll enjoy life more.
Remember Dr. Pepper time, 10 and 2 and 4.
Ooh.